In 2016, the role-playing strategy game Dungeons & Dragons was inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame, created in the 1970s. The National Museum of Play says, quote, "More than any other game, Dungeons & Dragons paved the way for older children and adults to experience imaginative play. It was, quote, groundbreaking." This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. This is show number 54. In Dungeons & Dragons, players assume the roles of characters who live in a world overseen and narrated by a dungeon master. A roll of the dice can change the circumstances in an instant, and players must adapt, interact, and use a menu of each player's special skills to respond. Today, therapists say there are lessons embedded in the playing of D&D and other RPG games like it. Today, my guest is Elizabeth Langbauer, a therapist at Yuma Counseling Services. She leads a D&D therapy group here in Yuma. We're going to find out more. Elizabeth Langbauer, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Lou.
Let's talk a little bit first about you. You are a therapist here in town, and because we are licensed to an educational institution, I always like to let people know how people became what they became. So how did you become a therapist?
Well, obviously, that's a longer story than we really have time for. But what I would like to say is that my college, Kenyon College, really gave me an excellent opportunity to explore all of my true interests. I always encourage my teenage clients, for example, when they're considering schools, to find one that feels both really comfortable but also thrilling, because that's the way you get to explore and find your way.
Did you always want to be a therapist, or was it something that you discovered in that sort of process?
I didn't really know what it meant to be a therapist as a child. I certainly had qualities that I knew about in high school, at least, that another person might have said, oh, she's going to be a therapist someday. But it didn't mean anything to me yet. As far as I was concerned, therapists were just people who got paid to listen and, you know, kind of had that quack sense about them. But it was, again, in college, I started getting my own therapy, for example, and just opened so many doors educationally, personally. I started exploring, and I found the one common theme in all of the issues and areas that I love is humanity, what makes people tick, and then my passion is compassion.
Yeah, you mentioned something that I think is interesting, that that there are some myths around therapies about the reasons people maybe go to therapy or what they can actually get out of it, or maybe that it's just all talking. How did you sort of enlighten yourself about those myths and the untruths behind it?
Well, as I said, I started getting therapy in college. Yeah. I went because a friend had come to me. People came to me when they had hurt themselves so badly that they weren't sure if they needed to see a doctor. Or they were just so alone that they didn't know who to talk to. And for some reason, I always became that person. And it was one day when I took one of those people, I said, we have a counseling center here. It's free to students. Let's just go. And then in talking to a counselor, I decided, you know what? I need some help too. The truth is, there is not a person alive that couldn't benefit at some point or another in their lives from therapy. Because there are always challenges in life that from time to time we need an extra tool set. It's not that you can't surmount an obstacle, you just haven't quite got the things you need yet to get there.
And we're going to learn today that therapy isn't just about talking to one person. There are all kinds of therapy. There's art therapy.
So many.
And today we're going to hear about Dungeons and Dragons therapy, an RPG tabletop game. Tell us what is for people, you know, and obviously, again, we can't get to all of it, but for the layperson, what's Dungeons and Dragons? What is an RPG game?
Right. So first of all, let's hit that acronym. RPG, it means role play game, which, again, when I started learning about it, they kept throwing around acronyms like that. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. Role-playing, now that's something that's been used in therapy for just centuries, basically. And gameplay has been used as well for different modalities, different techniques use bits and pieces of that. A role-play game, in this case, is a tabletop role-play game, means that we're not getting dressed up in costumes and running around a field or something. We've got little miniature characters.
We're staring at a screen.
Right, right. Yeah. We're not staring at a screen. where you're looking at one another. We've got a group of players, and they each play their own character. The Dungeon Master, as you mentioned, sort of plays all the other characters, what are called the non-player characters, the bad guys, but also the random inn owner, the shopkeeper, and keep the game moving along. The way it is a role-playing game is that the players have to think to themselves, this character that I've developed, I've created their backstory, I know what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. What would they do in this situation that's just been put in front of them? The characters who are being role-played the best often have somehow their own voices. Even if the person, the player, isn't speaking in an accent or anything, they sound different than the player. And we try and encourage our players to speak as the character. Instead of saying, well, my character would do this, I would say to that person then, okay, show me how they do that. Or how would that look? What would that sound like? Say it as your character. And so that is how it's a role play game per se.
But a lot of those questions you're asking yourself in responding to a situation in the game are questions we might ask ourselves every day.
Exactly.
As we live our lives.
Exactly. When you start playing a role play game, you get attached to your character. And in some ways, you might not like your character. And in other ways, you really relate to your character. Sometimes I'll challenge somebody by forcing them to play a character that they don't really understand. Whereas other times, I want them to play a character that they feel very comfortable with, very connected to, so that I can challenge something else. As they develop that connection and almost interaction with their character, I can ask them questions, well, how would you have handled that situation versus your character? In addition to relating to their characters, though, their characters have to relate to the other characters, and the player has to relate to the other players. And in that way, they're really forced to start doing some introspection work. They're really asked to start thinking about what is behind their choices in life and why. And it doesn't have to be good or bad. It just is self-discovery. What does make you tick versus what makes this character tick?
And I gather from reading a little bit about this before I spoke to you today that it's also very important that it be done in a group.
Oh, yes, absolutely. One of the groups, well, a group I'm running right now, I specifically developed for people who have social barriers. They are isolated in some way. It does not always mean any one thing. This group is good for people who are isolated because of, say, being on the autism spectrum. But it's also good for people who they haven't been able to attend school in a normal fashion because they have physical health problems. Or it's good for someone who has just been always an outlier in life. And I'm bringing them into a group of other outliers. And they all start so nervous and not really sure how much am I going to be judged and what if I screw up. And it just doesn't take very long before each of them in turn is supportive of the other person in their times of challenge. And that's really the greatest gift, I think, of the Dungeons and Dragons therapy group, is it teaches some of these people who feel like they don't have a voice or that they're going to be just always treated cruelly, that there is always a way to find a connection. There's always somebody out there that you can talk to. And even if the only common ground you have for right now is the game, maybe that's good enough. Maybe you can have a good and meaningful relationship with that person still.
What is it about taking yourself outside of your own situation, if we'll call it your life situation, and putting yourself in an RPG situation? What is it about that transference of yourself to a character that enables a different sensibility that you might not have in real life?
Anytime you can sort of externalize a situation, it makes it just a little bit easier to be objective about it. That teaches you empathy for others, but it also begins to teach you empathy for yourself. It begins to give you the skills to step outside yourself when you're feeling stressed or strained. Dungeons and Dragons is really good at teaching you distress tolerance and consequences. And so when you're playing it as a character, it's kind of a no-risk situation. Not entirely, because we do care how our characters act and how the game goes, but it decreases the risk significantly. The kid who is so shy that he can't even imagine walking up to a McDonald's salesperson and saying, "I'd like to order a Big Mac, please," will bravely, as the dwarf barbarian, walk up to the innkeeper and slam his fist down and say, "We heard there's trouble in town. Who do we talk to?" And it has minimized the risk of going up to that person because the kid's not doing it in real life. And yet he is learning the skill to do it in literal practice. And so that gives him that sense of, oh, I can actually do that. And that makes it just a touch safer. It gives him just enough of an outside perspective to say that that's not that hard.
My guest is Elizabeth Langbauer. She's a therapist at Yuma Counseling Services. We're talking about Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing games as therapy. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gumm. My guest today is Elizabeth Langbauer. She's a therapist at Yuma Counseling Services, and she leads a local Dungeons and Dragons therapy group. So talk a little bit, Elizabeth, about getting that group started here. It's been about a year that it's been going.
The group itself only started last summer. Mm-hmm. My supervisor, my boss, the owner of Yuma Counseling, Troy Love, he sent me an article one day from Wheelhouse Workshop. It's a group up in Seattle that does role play game and has developed sort of their own version of Dungeons and Dragons as a therapy tool. And he sent it to me because he knows I'm a nerd. And I was like, yes, why aren't we doing this? And so starting early last year, I just really dug into researching. I had to learn how to play Dungeons and Dragons. I was lucky enough to hook up with a fantastic group over at FanQuest Games where they would let me start as a brand new beginner. I love my Dungeon Master over there. They really helped me figure out how to play. And then, of course, I did research on the ways that I wanted to cultivate the game as a therapeutic modality. I am by far not the first person to be doing this. And so I had lots of signposts, lots of guides. I read articles. I watched roundtable discussions. I contacted some of the other people who do this. And I've gotten a lot of help from a friend of mine who's done it all of his life. And I always knew that, but never sat down and had a conversation with him about it before.
Yeah, that's interesting because there is and has been a sort of a stigma against D&D players, a nerd label, if you will, and
hey, even, I own it.
And even as you mentioned, alluded to before the break, even a sort of sense of isolation,
yes,
around a person who plays a game like this. But maybe people aren't understanding the sort of community nature of the game that seems sort of embedded in it.
My friend used the term "satanic panic" that went on sort of during the early to mid 80s among the middle class white population, where we thought only like the creepy guys played this game, and it was something they got together in their basements to do, and that must be sort of shameful and bad. And it's just not like that. People are playing it from pretty much every walk of life at this point. It is something that kids as young as 7 or 8 can learn to play, and they can learn to play in a version that's, you know, very, very mellow and easygoing. Therapy groups, Dungeons and Dragons therapy groups are used for elderly veterans, for example, which I thought maybe would be a group that would absolutely refuse to play. It's so useful for them. It's been accepted and embraced wholeheartedly in nursing homes, in elementary schools, in prisons. some people have a sense that Dungeons and Dragons is going to somehow promote violence because, you know, we battle the evil minions of the Dark Wizard or the scary monsters. But I remind people, you know, look back at Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, all of the fairy tales we've grown up with. We're not concerned that those things are teaching people violence or encouraging dark magic, because what it really is the ongoing metaphor of the fight of good versus evil. And that's all that Dungeons and Dragons is. It's just set in a Lord of the Rings type of setting often.
What has surprised you or challenged you as you've gotten this group going since last summer?
Well, that's an interesting question. I suppose lots and lots of things, because the first one in the summer I started was brand new. First of all, I was among the people who was surprised to hear that this is a functional program for even extremely mature or elderly adults. I just assumed that that wouldn't be the group that would be interested in it. It has surprised me how intensely and immediately it connects people, because again, I wasn't part of that community before. And whether I am playing socially myself or whether I'm leading my group, everybody is so instantly supportive of one another. We are all so mellow about, oh, it's okay, your character screwed that up, or you failed that roll. That was a terrible roll of the dice. But, you know, we all kind of laugh together and we build on it together. So it doesn't just teach communication skills in a, you know, fashion of can you explain what's happening? It teaches interpersonal skills. And can you connect to another player? The group I'm running right now that I told you with the social barriers and everything, you know, we've had some really intense moments during the game where someone will just suddenly feel like he's a waste of space, he's ruining the game, or he's experiencing feelings that are just making it impossible to deal with. And everybody will immediately jump in and say, no. We have all been there. We've all had that happen. They have exchanged phone numbers and text messages. Some of them hang out together now. And these are people who would never have done something like that
before. And that's evidence to you that these skills, these lessons are transferring into real life in some way.
They absolutely are. These people are taking risks socially that they would have never contemplated doing before. And they are finding that when they take those risks, they are being received warmly and gently if necessary. But they've also got people who will be their cheerleaders and pump them up. And yes, I've got all walks of life in that way too. I have female clients, I have male clients, I've got, you know, the pretty girl, I've got, you know, the sort of preppy boy, all of it. And they find out that they actually have a lot in common, that, you know, if they were just stuck in high school together, they would have never approached that other person.
If this sounds appealing to a listener, or sounds appealing perhaps to the family member of someone who they think could benefit from this, how could they maybe know?
How could they know what? I'm unclear.
That this would work for someone that's in their lives or themselves?
Well, first of all,
if they're on the sort of verge of maybe making that call.
First of all, as I said, if you ever wonder if maybe some type of therapy might be beneficial, I can pretty much guarantee some kind of therapy would be beneficial. Do you not take your fully functioning car in for an oil change? If you want it to stay fully functioning, of course you do. As far as specifically to the Dungeons and Dragons group, I am willing and excited to open up groups for a very wide variety of issues. I'd like to start groups with kids as young as maybe 9 or 10, and groups for adults throughout the ages. If isolation is a problem, communication, interpersonal relationships, fear, shyness, or, like I said, the autism spectrum, if you just don't seem to communicate on the same wavelength as other people, it's not that you're disabled, you're just on a different page. This could also be the right thing for that. People should call. I generally do free consultations to find out if somebody would be a good fit.
And do you imagine bringing in other games? Because Dungeons & Dragons isn't the only RPG game out there. Have you had a chance to experience other games?
I am actually anxiously awaiting the Wheelhouse Workshops game that they are producing at this point. I believe it's called Critical Core. And it's, again, a sort of simplified version of D&D, and I'm excited to try that one out because some of the rules of Dungeons & Dragons can be fairly complex. And so especially younger populations, I think, would benefit from a slightly simple, you know, easier method.
And if people want to get more information from you, how can they get in touch with you?
You should absolutely, you can go on our website and send us an email, or you can call us at 928-276-9535. This is all happening at Yuma Counseling Services. We are really conveniently located on Avenue A, and call anytime. Just give us a name and your information.
All right, Elizabeth Langbauer, therapist at Yuma Counseling Services. We've been talking about Dungeons and Dragons as therapy, and you can find out more, get in contact with her. This is KAWC. Thanks for listening.